You're listening to the Great Hearts Podcast. We're a classical education charter school network serving grades K through 12 in pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. In this episode, we'll be talking with my colleague Eric Twist about what is a charter school.
We focus on a really core liberal arts curriculum, which is something that's been passed down for millennia. An education that we like to argue has for too long actually been hidden behind the gates of private and elite institutions. It's been out of the hands of the middle and lower classes. We're trying to democratize that education, take an education that has been sort of the golden child for so many generations and put that into neighborhoods across Arizona and Texas.
Thanks for downloading. I'm your host, Dan Scoggin, and we're answering the questions about where does a charter school come from today, Eric? How does it serve kids from all different backgrounds? So Eric, tell me a little bit about your background in working in charter schools.
So I started my charter school career a little over 10 years ago. I was working for Basis Scottsdale as an administrator, and while I was there, got to know the guys at Veritas Prep who were really on the front lines of trying to bring classical education into the kind of public school space. And so I left after a year and kind of cut my teeth there at Veritas teaching and being a dean of students, and haven't left Great Hearts since.
And you've led a school and you've been involved in the growth of Great Hearts, so you're perfect to answer this question. Basically, Eric, what is a charter school?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's funny, charter schools have been around for over 20 years now, and there's still a lot of confusion about that. A charter school at its core is a public school. It gets a charter from the state to go and do something unique or innovative, different than the typical, we might say, cookie cutter schools that we have across the country that are sometimes known as district schools. Charters are allowed to innovate and to do something that they believe is the best approach or program for their students. Parents are free to enroll their kids in those schools. It doesn't matter where they live. It's not like the district schools traditionally, where you could only get access to that school if you lived in a certain zip code. And so it has allowed people to go out into the education space and to really move into all neighborhoods with education programs that they believe meet the needs of the students in those neighborhoods. And there's been immense growth over the last 20 years, especially in Arizona. Charter schools make up almost 20%
now. 20%.
Of the overall public school enrollment in the state, and it continues to grow every year.
So you talked about the charter itself. Who do you receive the charter from? How does that work? What is the charter document?
So the state of Arizona, through the Arizona State Board for Charter Schools, awards or grants, I guess grants is probably the better word there, grants charters to operators. That charter needs to be renewed every 15 years. There are a number of frameworks that those operators need to hit: academic expectations, financial expectations, legal expectations, reporting expectations. If an operator meets those requirements, then it is free to open up schools anywhere that it wants. It's really, at that point, just beholden to whether or not mom and dad want to enroll their kid in that school. So it gives parents a lot of choice. It gives kids something maybe different than you or I would have had, you know, a long time ago when we were in our K-12 days. And parents have been exercising that choice more and more.
So accountability and freedom. So charter schools are not just free to do whatever they want. They have to make sure that they're meeting academic and financial standards. Are there other standards that they have to meet?
Yeah, like any public school, a charter school has to ensure that its kids are meeting the state standardized test requirements. There are charter schools that close if they get an F rating or if their kids are not progressing academically. The charter board looks at those things and will actually shut down charter schools and has done that many times over the last 20 years. Very different, actually, to your typical district school that is not beholden to those types of standards. So in many ways, charter schools have a much more a much higher standard for operating. You know, not only can they close because the State Board for Charter Schools reviews the frameworks and determines whether or not they're fulfilling their fiduciary responsibility to the state, but charter schools also close because mom and dad are actually oftentimes a lot faster than the government in understanding
that's
whether or not.
That's the greatest accountability.
The greatest accountability is always really the marketplace. Mom and dad love their kids, care for their kids, want the best for their kids. They care for them certainly more than bureaucrats. And so the highest accountability is obviously mom and dad voting with their feet.
So the accountability side and then the freedom side, what types of schools are being created these days under the charter opportunity?
Oh my gosh, it's such a wide spectrum. So you have everything from something like Arizona School for the Arts that really focuses on giving those kids who love ballet or want to really focus on trumpet or drama, giving them an ability to go deep in those areas. We've got schools that are mostly online. We've got schools that focus mostly on computing or the sciences. It's really across the board. At Great Hearts, of course, we focus on a really core liberal arts curriculum, which is something that has been passed down for millennia, an education that we like to argue has for too long actually been hidden behind the gates of private and elite institutions. It's been out of the hands of the middle and lower classes. We're trying to democratize that education, take an education that has been sort of the golden child for so many generations and put that into neighborhoods across Arizona and Texas.
The money's important though, right? Where does the funding come from for charter schools? And how's it different than, say, your traditional district public school?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's pretty simple for a charter school. The money comes, not quite as simple as it just comes with the child, but it's almost just like that. If a kid enrolls in a school and stays in that school, then the state gives a certain amount of money to the charter school to educate that child. In district schools, there's a bunch of different buckets. It can be really confusing. It sort of depends on the tax base in those districts. It depends on different legislation, sometimes called overrides or bonds that they do that will change what the districts can spend money on. For a charter school, it's pretty simple. A kid shows up, the state will give you a certain amount of money for that kid. And so if you have kids, the state will fund you, and if you don't have kids, they won't.
Is the funding equitable, Eric, with the traditional district public schools?
On average, it's not, right? There are some districts that that per their ability to tax and to bond and to override are lower than the state average. And then there are some districts that are well above the national average. The national average per pupil funding hovers around $12,000 per pupil. Great Hearts, on average, is about $6,800 per pupil.
Wow.
So we're almost half the national average. We have districts in the state that are just below that $6,800. We have some districts in the state that are close to $12,000. But on average, your districts hover right around $8,000 to $9,000 per pupil.
Well, that sounds like quite a discrepancy.
It is a huge discrepancy. It's a huge difference between what essentially what the state is saying, what a child is worth at a district school and what a child is worth at a charter school. Now, one of the things that charter schools have started to prove is that there are efficiencies to be had. And I think that's something we're all proud of. But I also think that there was a time when the legislature and our leaders thought that Well, we're sort of incubating this idea of charters and a free marketplace of education options. It's almost like an experiment. I think that experiment, we would argue, is over, you know, and that charters really ought to start to be funded, not like an experiment anymore, but more like a solution.
Well, I was wondering, Eric, where charter school teachers come from. You know, the heart of any school is its faculty, and was wondering how that works for a charter school in the context of public education.
It's a really important question. So they come from all over, and this is one of the major differences between charter regulation and district regulation. A charter can hire from a much a broader pool of talent than our districts can. So they're not beholden to the certification process. We can, at Great Hearts, we can go out and hire a PhD in physics to teach our physics class without requiring that man or woman to go and get a general education degree. And that's really important for us because we want to hire people that love their subject and have gone deep in their subject. Bring them in with their content knowledge and their passion. And give them the tools that they need to grow as teachers, to grow in the sort of art of pedagogy, and to understand exactly how to transfer that knowledge to the students. At a district school, they're much more confined in who they can hire from. So at Great Hearts, we're getting teachers across the country that are coming from programs that are liberal arts to focus on math and science to, you know, master's degrees and PhDs that that at their core, they love what they teach. And the kids can sense that. And that's really a sort of essential part of the culture of a Great Hearts Academy.
So that's where the teachers come from. But perhaps we could close our conversation today, Eric, by talking about how the students get into a charter school. How does that work? Do you just show up on day one, or how do I get my kid into a Great Hearts school or any charter school?
Great question. So all a parent needs to do is to apply. And it's a blind lottery for who gets into our schools. We don't self-select. There are no entrance exams. We take who wants to come, and as far as it's been described to me as some sort of algorithm that jumbles them all up and puts them in line and puts them in seats, and we're proud of that. We're proud that we're open to all kids. We're proud of the fact that any parent that wants a Great Hearts education can put an application in and put their kids in one of our seats and get one of the best educations in the country.
Without paying tuition.
Without paying any tuition.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for this conversation on what is a charter school and how they work. Thank you for coming in today.
Always great being here. Thanks.
Learn more about our schools by visiting greatheartsamerica.org. Thank you for joining us.